Greetings in Jesus' name. Welcome to each one here this morning. I trust that we are here this morning because we want to be taught by God's Word. I'd like to just stand and we'll just have a time of prayer here. Our Heavenly Father, we do stand before you this morning again. We are thankful this morning for the privilege that we have of coming together as a body of believers. We're here because we want to worship you. We're here because we desire for you to teach us through the preaching of your word. We are thankful this morning for the things that you have already shown us. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to just learn the things that we need to learn today, and that we would take them with us and just be able to apply them to our lives. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would be with those that are not here with us this morning that often are. We just lift them up to you and just pray that you would be with them, that you would minister to them, and that they could be encouraged this morning as well. Lord, I just pray that you would give me the ability to share the things that you have laid upon my heart. I pray that you would give us ears to hear and give us hearts, Lord, that we can receive the things that we need to receive. We just want to commit this service to you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was thinking about sharing here this morning, my thoughts turned to prayer, and it's something that I shared on at our brothers' meeting, just touched on a little bit. And when we think about prayer, we think about communication. And if we just stop and analyze ourselves just a little bit, we realize that communication is important. Try to go through a day or a time frame and try to live with broken communication with the people that you're around. And we find ourselves quickly falling apart and just we become our own little world, and we all recognize that that doesn't work. And when we think about prayer is communicating to God. And I think we all understand that, and we desire to communicate to God and to pray. And so the title of my message this morning is How Prayer Changes Our Lives. And as that becomes more and more part of our lives, it changes me. And as that takes place, it spreads out and changes lives around us. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we see a very good example of that taking place. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And in verse 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. The effects of fellowship and learning, teaching, being under the teaching of God's word, and having communication with God. In the end of 42 there, they were in breaking of bread and in prayers. They were communicating to God. They were sharing the things that were on their hearts, whether it was the joys that they had, the concerns. If they were found themselves falling short, they brought these things to God. And in verse 43, it says that fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Was that the work of man that we see these many wonders and signs taking place? No, I believe that it was God working in their lives, and they became encouraged and strengthened and were filled by the Holy Spirit and were able to minister to each other. And people were changed by that. I'd like to just look at a couple of passages, couple of examples of when we see prayer, different accounts where prayer took place. In 2 Kings chapter 20, reading the first part of this chapter here, Hezekiah here was sick. And in starting in verse 1 here, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. He was very sick, and tells us here that he was expecting to die. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." So here a man of God came to him and told him that he's to get his life in order and prepare to die. And it tells us in verse 2, "Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying," we see that this news came to him, and his first thing in verse 2 is he turned his face to the wall and he started talking to God. "I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth, and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. Verse 4, "And it came to pass afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day, thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." And Isaiah said, "Take a lump of figs." And they took it and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, "What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day?" And Isaiah said, "This sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees, or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, "It is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial is. So here we have an example of someone crying out to God. And we can quickly see in this passage that Hezekiah had a relationship with God. And this was not just a one-time thing, as he was facing a death situation and there was nothing else to do but plead with God. I believe that he had a relationship with God, and he cried out to God and ask for him to reconsider, to change the way things were going. And God heard him and listened and changed his mind and granted him an additional 15 years, I believe it said. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, we have another example. Hannah, who was childless and was desiring to have a child. And she cried out to God. In her time of sorrow, and sought God and made promises to the Lord. And we see how God heard her and blessed her with a child. In Acts chapter 12, we have another example of God's of prayer and the effectiveness of that those prayers. Peter was in prison. And if we start reading here, we see how impossible this situation looks. In Acts chapter 12, starting in verse 1, "Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James the brother of John with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread." We see the authorities reaching out and causing havoc in the churches. In verse 4, "And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four cordons of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, Arise, up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind up thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And they went when they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the things, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he beckoned unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go show thee things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Here we see a picture of prayer. We see Peter stuck in prison. And it almost appears to me, as you look at how the precautions that they took to make sure that Peter doesn't escape. They had, I believe, 16 soldiers guarding him. They had him chained with two chains. It's almost like they knew that God was capable of releasing him from prison, and they were going to make sure that that doesn't happen. And if you look at in a prison wall, and you look at that from the outside of how he was guarded and chained, and probably the armed men that were around that place, and you wanted to escape, or if you had friends that wanted to help you escape, this is an impossible situation. And they thought they had it taken care of. But we see that that God's people were praying for Peter, and God heard and answered their prayer. And we see Peter standing up and walking out of this prison, and they were not even aware that it had happened. Till the next morning, they arose and saw, it's like, where's Peter? And that caused a lot of stir and trouble for them. In Joshua, chapter 10, another example that we see here. Of a victory here that was won. Joshua chapter 10, going down to verse 11. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Bethron, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azek, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. So they were in the middle of a battle, and darkness was coming against them. And we see Joshua calling out to God and asking for help and to intervene. And we see that God heard Joshua. In Mark chapter 7, Mark chapter 7, going down to verse 25. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Coming to Jesus here. The woman was a Greek, a Syrian by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out of her daughter and laid upon the bed. Here, just again someone pleading with Jesus, and we see Jesus hearing and responding. So we have examples here of God working in people's lives in God's word. And it changed the lives of them. It changed the lives of others because they took the time and cried out to God. So we can be encouraged by that. Are we, as we face life, as we face difficulties, do we take those things upon ourselves and try to work them out? Or do we allow God, do we invite God into the situation and quickly get him involved? Hezekiah was thought his life was over, and he was told it was. He didn't. In verse 2, he was coming to the Lord about those things. And God changed that. And that's what God wants us to do. In James chapter 5, verse 16, tells us, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In our words, that these people are powerful and effective. When we bring those things to the Lord, it matters. It changes. In Hebrews chapter 10, going down to verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession, our faith, without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Prayer is talking to God. Jesus' sacrifice, him going to the cross and dying for our sins, and he rose again, and that is the foundation, that is the reason that we can come to God. That is the reason that we can communicate to God, because we can be forgiven. We can have that right relationship with him. And he desires that. He did everything that needed to be done that we can have that relationship. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. These verses were reminded by Jesus' words to ask, to seek, to knock. And the promise is that we will find. This is the promise that Jesus gave us. In Mark chapter 11, verse 22 and 23. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shalt not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. The promise that I see here is the mountains that we see in our lives, in our, as we're walking through life and as we come up against mountains that look impossible. And in our own ability, in our own eyes, they are. Jesus is saying, if we bring these things to him, he wants to heal us. He wants to give us courage. In fact, he tells us that he will remove those mountains from our lives and cast them into the sea. That's the promise that we have in God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. These are not things that we can do in our own strengths. When we face mountains in our lives and they strike fear in our hearts or send us in despair, we try to deal with those things of ourselves. We fail. But when we trust and bring them to Jesus and realize that he can change them, we will experience, we will see God's power working for us and in our lives. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 8. We see in this verse that Jesus already knows the needs that we have before we ask him. He understands that. But he wants us to ask him. In Jonah, chapter 2, verse 7, Jonah's tells us here that when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. How did Jonah get into this predicament? In the beginning of the book, Jonah was running from God. God had given him an assignment. And Jonah's like, oh no, this is going to be way too hard. I might get myself killed doing this. And Jonah's, instead of listening, started running in the other direction. And as we know the story well, that he jumped on a ship and went somewhere else. We see that God was watching over Jonah. It was God that brought him to chapter 2, verse 7, in the belly of a big fish. And Jonah came to his senses and he remembered the Lord. And he started praying and talking to God. Matthew 6, verse 8, he tells us that he knows our needs before we even ask. Jonah chapter 2, verse 7, we see that God was watching. And he was waiting for Jonah to cry out to him. Jonah waked up and started talking to God. And God was listening and delivered him from that place. In James chapter 5, going down to verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. First Peter 5 verse 7 tells us about taking our burdens to the Lord. In James here, in this passage that I just read, we're promised that prayer brings healing. In Psalms 23, verse 5, it talks about anointing with oil and the ministry of restoration and healing that is found in that. And we see that here in James, how prayer brings healing. In James chapter 1, verse 6, tells us, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. We're reminded over and over again that we must ask and that we must believe and seek the Lord and not doubt. If we doubt, we will not receive anything. Verse 16 in James 5 here, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It is effective. It's powerful. So, in closing here, as we walk through life, as we find ourselves going through life and we see, do we go to James chapter 5 and do we find ourselves coming to people, asking them to pray for us? Do we find ourselves coming to people in verse 16, seeking out these kinds of people in our lives? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Who do we go to when we are spiritually struggling? When we're discouraged? Do we seek out someone else that's discouraged and try to comfort one another? Or do we find ourselves going to James chapter 5, and seeking out those that it reminds us of in verse 16. If we seek out those that it describes, in verse 16 here, we have a promise. Our lives will be changed. We will be restored. We will be encouraged and strengthened. Let's purpose to do that. When we find ourselves in these situations, Satan is going to come alongside of us and is going to try to convince us to do otherwise. To find people that are hurting, that are discouraged, that have fallen in sin like we, and tell us you can find your comfort there. If he can distract us and keep us doing that, he knows that we will fall. But if we listen to the Spirit, and let ourselves come before, seek out people that we know that will encourage us and pray for us and encourage us in the Word, we can be promised, we can know that we will be healed and we will experience God's power working in and through our lives and beyond. Going back, 2 Kings chapter 20 there, Hezekiah was sick. The word of the Lord had come to him and told him where things were at. And we see him crying out to God. And God intervened and gave him additional time on this earth. As we face life, in a spiritual sense, in a physical sense, God wants to give us that kind of courage. When we come into a day and it feels like we're sick, feels like we don't have courage, and how can I go through another day? How can I find hope? If we do what God's word says, if we do what Hezekiah said, did, if we do what James 5 teaches us, and we seek out people, God's people, we will experience God's power and strength in our lives. May God bless.